91.3 FM, WLVR, Bethlehem. You're listening to Fritz Rocks, and we just heard The Last Door from Seven Moons. Before that, Little Girl from In City Dreams. Also, Day of the Eagle from the Immortal Bridge of Sighs album. Before that was Too Much Joy from Robin's 2000 release, Go My Way. And we started the set with Lives of Clay from Seven Moons, the new album from Robin Trower and Jack Bruce. Now, in the annals of guitar rock, there are names that are pretty much synonymous with legend status, musicians that set the trends and shaped the sound and broke the mold of conventional barriers of rock guitar. Names like Jimi Hendrix and Duane Allman and Eddie Van Halen. And certainly, a name that belongs with these guitar heroes is the distinctive guitar legend, Robin Trower. Robin, welcome to the show, and congratulations on another great album with a collaborator from the past, the incredible Jack Bruce, and the new album, Seven Moons.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Wow, what a record. You know, we got the record. In fact, as soon as it was released, some of our staff went out and bought the record. And this was a couple of weeks ago, and we've been playing it ever since. And
Right. And
every time we play it, Robin, this is no lie, every time we play it, someone calls in.
Fantastic.
And wants to know more about the record and where they can get it and so forth. So one of the first things I wanted to ask you was, when and how did the collaboration start for Seven Moons? Did you call Jack or did Jack call you?
Well, I've been calling Jack and speaking to him for a few years now about doing remixes and repackaging of the stuff that we did together in the 80s, or well, the best of it.
The BLT.
It's been very difficult because it belongs to EMI, but Jack had the idea of putting a couple of new songs into the package, so we got together and started writing, and before we knew where we were, we had four or five songs, and decided that we should go forward and do an album.
Well, you worked with Jack before with BLT and Truce, and it was, you know, those two albums are great records. Was it like an old shoe working with Jack again?
It was great, yes. I mean, you know, he's one of the truly great rock and roll musicians, as well as being a, you know, sort of a great all-rounder. But his empathy for what I do on the guitar, you know, is phenomenal.
You know, there's a definitive spontaneity and freedom on this album. Can you tell us a little bit about how Seven Moons was written and recorded?
Well, Jack and I co-wrote all the songs. So we pretty much had a good idea of how we wanted them to go when we went in the studio. So we got together with Gary Husband on drums in the studio. We'd run them down a couple of times so that he could learn the songs. And then we'd start recording, and usually it was a second take, sometimes a third take, but it was, you know, put together pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, you could pretty much hear that it was live. There's not a lot of overdubbing done at all on this record.
No, that's right.
And do you find that that's pretty much the way you've been working throughout your career?
It is, apart from one or two sort of straying off the beaten path. I do rather try and capture something of a performance, if possible, in the studio.
Well, you definitely captured that on the Seven Moons album. So I wanted to tell you, great job. Everybody loves the record. Now, I went out today and picked up another copy for myself, and they're having a hard time keeping it in the store, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it sure is. Let me ask you this. Actually, you were born in 1945, in March of 1945, in Catford, Southeast London in England, and your first band, the Paramounts, were formed in 1962 with former school and bandmate Gary Brooker, later forming Procol Harum in 67. Was there a spark that lit the guitar fuse for you, and when did you actually start playing the guitar?
Well, I think I was a big Elvis fan, so Scotty Moore, the guitar player with Elvis, was a big inspiration for me to pick up a guitar and start learning to play. A lot of great guitar players about in those 50s rock and roll bands, and Gene Vincent's guitar player, the Everly Brothers guitar player. You know, they were all great guitar players.
So pretty much the mid to late 50s is what gave you the bug.
Yeah, definitely.
And what was radio like over there in England at the time?
Well, we weren't getting a lot of rock and roll on the BBC. very sort of staid. But
so where did you get it?
Well, I was lucky enough to have an older brother that used to actually buy the records and bring them home. So I was exposed to them at an early age.
Ah, I can relate to that. I have brothers, and I'm the oldest myself, and I did exactly the same thing with my brothers.
There you go.
You know, I pull the record out and say, you got to listen to this.
Yeah, exactly. It works, too.
It does work, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. At one time, you did play the Gibsons, and now the Fender Stratocaster became the guitar of choice, giving you the Robin Trower distinctive tone and sound, and so much so that Fender Custom has created the Robin Trower Signature Series guitar. What prompted the change, and why have you stayed with the Fender Strat?
Well, when I first picked one up, I realized that it had a tone that was quite close to the human voice.
Okay.
And I think it's that human quality of the voice of the Strat that makes it a fascinating instrument to play.
It tends to breathe a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got a lot of, as you say, got a lot of air around it.
Got a lot of air, yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're recording, are there any preferences to mics and mic placement and amps and speaker cabinets that you use often, or do you change things for each album that you do?
Well, I tend to be sort of going from one thing to another. You know, you're always looking for the perfect tone, aren't you?
Sure.
And on this album with Jack, I've used at new amps called Cornell Plexi.
Okay.
They're only small amps, but they have a great tone, beautiful tone.
Mm-hmm. We were fortunate enough to hear the incredible voice of James Duer through most of your catalog, and then, of course, with Gary Brooker with Procol Harum, and Jack Bruce with BLT and Truce, and now Seven Moons, and now you have Davey Pattison with you as well, and amazing vocalists. They seem to go hand in hand with Robin Trower.
Well, I've been very fortunate to work with so many great singers over the years, and you notice most of them are Scottish.
Okay.
I don't know whether that's a coincidence or just the fact that they're more soulful or something. I got a feeling the Scottish singers are more soulful.
Okay. I didn't know that Davey Pattison is Scottish.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, you're a pretty busy guy. You're on tour now through the States and then off to England, spending like almost 6 months on tour. How do you keep the shows fresh, and how often do you change the set list?
I don't usually change the set list once I get going.
Okay.
Because you get that lovely flow going from one song to the next.
Yeah.
But keeping it fresh, I think it's just a matter of you either enjoy playing the songs or you don't, and if you don't, you drop them.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it, really. And I find with playing in a three-piece, it's always a challenge playing live.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to work quite hard with just guitar, bass, and drums and vocals, you know. It's so there's no let-up. Can't relax with it. You've got to give it everything, and I think that's what makes it work.
There's really not much room for error when it's a three-piece.
Well, you've got to fill in quite a lot of space, because really, yeah, there's an instrument missing.
Right.
Yeah.
Are there any cities or countries or places that you are particularly happy to play?
Yes, the U.S.
And why is that, do you think?
Well, it's where I've been most successful, and have the most people that come out to see me, you know, and it's been the U.S. that's kept my career alive, really, over the years.
Yeah, 4 gold albums, not too bad.
No, that's right.
Can you talk a little bit about your discography? Any favorite songs from each period for you? It's kind of hard to ask an artist that question or expect the artist to say, oh, yeah, well, that particular album was a fave of mine, and reading up a little bit on you and being a fan of yours throughout the years, I believe that albums for you is really not an easy thing for you to pick. It's more particular pieces of work and songs that you're more
I think that's right. You tend to there's never a whole album where you're completely happy with it. There's always one or two things on there you think, oh no, I could have done that better. So I tend to pick, you know, my favorite songs. Obviously, Bridge of Sighs is one of my favorite pieces. Somebody Calling off of In City Dreams. You just played one of my favorite things. That's Little Girl off of In City Dreams.
I was wondering if you were going to pick up on that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just listened a couple of days ago to your interview on Rockline, which was really well done. And Rockline's been a staple in the country. You've been doing some great stuff over the years. And and through that interview, they got to play music and so forth. Today we're just going to talk, and then when we wrap up, I'll go back to playing some more Robin Trower music. I wanted to ask you, because there's really not a lot out there of interviews with Robin Trower. Is this something that you dread? Is it something that you don't mind? How do you feel about doing the whole interview thing?
I don't mind doing it. I mean, you know, what person wouldn't like to just sit and talk about themselves for 20 minutes?
Good answer. I got nobody calling me up and asking me for an interview, so I have no idea what it's like on the other end of that thing, you know?
Well, it's good. Let me tell you, it is good.
It is a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, all right, that's cool. Let me ask you this. Tell us about who you may regard as some great guitarists today and yesterday.
Well, today there's the guy in Radiohead, Johnny Greenwood, who I think is a really great musician. Radiohead is not my kind of thing, really, because it's not my kind of music, but I do appreciate how talented he is.
Okay.
But from the past, it's still the same guys: B.B. King, Albert King, Jimi Hendrix, Hubert Sumlin, you know.
Yeah, Hubert Sumlin, the sound of Hubert Sumlin and Howlin' Wolf and guys like that. How much of an influence would you say they had on you?
Huge.
Huge, right?
I mean, Howlin' Wolf and James Brown are my two favorite artists.
Wow.
So obviously there's been an influence there. And obviously Hubert Sumlin as Howlin' Wolf's guitar player has been an influence.
Yeah.
You know, Jimi Hendrix obviously is the biggest influence on me, because he opened a door that wasn't even there before he came along.
That's true.
You know, and we're all playing Strats now because of him.
Because of Jimmy.
Yeah. I mean, we were all us Brits were playing Gibsons before he came along.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, you think about it, we were.
Yeah, that's true. And didn't Procol Harum open a gig with Jimi Hendrix?
I think, I'm pretty sure they did, but that was before I joined them.
That was before you were there, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever get the opportunity to see Jimmy?
I did. I said hello to him once, but it was only very brief.
Uh-huh. What was that like, seeing Jimmy? Because that was a little bit before my time.
Well, I was on the bill with him when I was in Procol Harum. We were playing in Berlin, and he was amazing, you know, on the guitar. You know, after I'd seen him, I wanted to give up for about a year. I had the same thing when I heard Albert King live as well.
Okay.
I didn't want to play anymore. there you go. You know, get over it and you move forward.
Is there anyone that you would still wish to play with or write with, past or present?
Well, I mean, the heroes I would have liked to have sat in with, like James Brown or Howlin' Wolf. You know, obviously they're gone, but...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, playing with Jack is a bit like playing with one of your heroes.
Well, I would say Jack Bruce, you know, the legendary Jack Bruce, the voice of Cream. And
absolutely. And,
you know, he often gets recognition for his voice, but he is a monster on the bass, too, you know?
Oh, monster. Talk about a guy that opened a few doors.
I'll say.
Yeah, I mean... You know, there's before Jack Bruce on the bass, and there's after Jack Bruce on the bass, isn't there?
That is so true, you know?
Yeah.
It really is true. Are there any plans for you and Jack to actually take the Seven Moons album out on tour?
Well, we're talking about doing a few live things later in the year.
Okay. And where would that be? Probably in England. I mean, is this something you would think or consider bringing stateside? Or
yeah, I mean, I would hope we could do a few dates in Europe and a few dates in the U.S.
Obviously, Jack wasn't done with getting out there and playing. I think the reunion with Eric and Ginger with the Cream reunion kind of sparked him a little bit. Obviously, for him to be working with you again, I think when you two guys do something, it's been a long time since 1980 and 81. There's some magic that's created when the two of you guys work together. So,
I feel that. I definitely feel that. I mean, it's wonderful to work with him. As I say, he's a great, one of the greats.
What is your impression of the music industry itself yesterday and today?
Well, obviously, it's become a different thing altogether now because, you can't really sell that many albums anymore. I think people like me are more reliant on playing live. I haven't actually sold enough albums over the last 15 years to actually make any money, but I've sold enough to go on and make another album.
Okay.
And I'm happy with that. As long as I can keep making albums, that's all that matters, really.
What do you think about radio today? Because I know you have the BBC One, BBC Two over there, and when you're in the States, do you listen to radio? What do you think of the whole commercial radio scene?
Well, I think it's become more difficult for radio stations to play stuff that's off the beaten track, if you know what I mean.
Oh, sure.
I think that's a bit of a problem for music itself, because people don't get to hear stuff that isn't just straight down the middle.
Yeah.
And I think it is a problem for the development of music and musicians.
On a whole, I'll have to agree with you there, because it's become kind of stale, I think, and there's so much more to an artist than one or two songs.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, look at your catalog of work. Today we played something from Go My Way.
Yeah.
And I can distinctly remember when the album came in at the commercial radio station that I work at, and I saw this coming in. I'm like, wow, Trower's, getting this out to commercial radio. It didn't get played. But where I'm talking to you from today is college radio, where we have the freedom to pretty much play anything that we want, as you heard in the set that I played before we started talking.
We could do with a few more of those sort of stations, couldn't we?
yes, we sure could. What does Robin Trower listen to unwind? Like, what is in your CD player or your reel-to-reel or whatever format you're listening in these days?
Well, when I'm driving, the CDs I have in my car are all music from the 30s and 40s.
Wow, I never would have expected an answer like that.
Yeah, well, that is the peak of popular music. That's when music was truly, truly great.
And what kind of...
They were writing fantastic songs. The orchestras were the best musicians in the world. The singers were wonderful,
So are you talking about people like Glenn Miller and Cab Calloway, Duke Ellington, and that kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Ah,
Ella Fitzgerald, Billy Eckstein.
Yeah, Ella.
And then I go up to sort of Dinah Washington and Nat King Cole, up to that sort of era,
No Billie Holiday?
Yeah, Billie Holiday, definitely.
Wow, I never would have expected that. And that's pretty cool, because it's definitely not something that you hear much on the radio at all anymore.
No, well, the thing is, I can listen to that music without having to be... critical or trying to understand what makes it tick. I could just listen to it as a listener for enjoyment.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing is, of course, I've burnt a hole right the way through Howling Wolf's records. I've listened to them so many times. I know them exactly off by heart now, so I can't listen to them anymore.
Oh, okay. Because one of my questions that I ask every artist that I interview is... Perhaps you're planning a vacation, you're going to go away for a week, and you decided to take an album with you that you want to, spend some time with, a CD or whatever, and then when you get to your destination, you realize that you're stuck there for all eternity, you're on an island or whatever it may be, and you've got this one CD that you're going to listen to until your batteries die. What did you take?
I think it'd probably be James Brown Live at the Apollo.
Wow. Now, there's a smoking record in performance, too.
Definitely.
Wow.
Big yeah, James Brown. That's been a huge inspiration to me, that album.
I can see why. He was only, you know, the godfather of soul.
Definitely.
No doubt about that. Are there any particular albums throughout your career that are kind of close and dear to you, or any albums that you kind of look back and say, well, I wish I wouldn't have done that?
Yeah, there's a couple of albums in the 80s I did that I'm not very happy with. I think the approach was too far away from my thing, as it were. One was called In the Line of Fire, and the other one was called Take What You Need.
And what is it about the records that you don't like?
I think they've just gone too far away from where I'm at, basically. I think it was a more of a blatant attempt to make a sort of a pop record, you know, at that time. And you know, you wouldn't get played on the radio unless you had a radio type of record, you know.
Yeah. Well, unless it was under 3 minutes and 30 seconds, and
yeah, I'm just not very happy with them. Anyway, it's a shame because there were some good songs on them.
Oh, okay. All right. Anything that you would like to tell the listener as far as how they can reach you on the World Wide Web?
Yeah, I mean, I have a website called trourpower.com, which, you know, people can find out what we're doing and catch up on various bits and pieces.
And actually, on your website, they can find your catalog is there. They can also order Seven Moons on your site?
I'm pretty sure you can.
Yeah.
Or get it on Amazon.
Or get it on Amazon, okay.
Yeah.
You also have a blog on your website. You've got news archives and the list of the current tour is there as well.
Yeah, I do. I keep a diary. I write a little note about each place we play.
Very cool.
Yeah, so, you know, it keeps it interesting.
And where are you calling me from right now?
I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Ah, you're playing the Roseland tonight.
That's it. That's
okay.
The one.
All right. And then you're working your way eastbound. I see Seattle on tomorrow night and Kansas City. And then you'll be at the Fillmore in Philly on the 12th.
Right.
And at Penn's Peak in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania on the 13th. That's the night we're going to come out to see you.
Great.
And now, Penn's Peak, you've not played there before, Robin.
No.
And if you get the time to maybe go on the web while you're out there on the road, you can find them at pinspeak.com. But I think you're going to really enjoy the venue. It's a different type of venue. The entire venue is constructed of wood.
Oh, lovely.
It's a nice big room, a huge stage, and it's got a real nice sound to the room. And I think you're really going to enjoy, you know, what you do. You're going to enjoy the sound of the room.
Excellent.
And we look forward to seeing you there.
Good.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Well, Robin, I got to tell you, first of all, and most importantly, I wanted to thank you. As I thank all the artists, I want to thank you personally for the great catalog of music that you've given us and continue to give.
Thank you very much indeed.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I'd like to tell everybody once again that you can find the latest album from Mr. Robin Trower and Jack Bruce together. It's called Seven Moons. You can find it on trowerpower.com or at amazon.com or at your local CD store right now. And congratulations on this record, Robin. It's really a great piece of work from the front to the back of the album.
Thank you very much.
Wow. You should be really, really happy with this record.
Yeah, Jack and I are thrilled with it.
Yeah, I can see why. It's a great piece of work. All right, Robin, thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
My pleasure.
And I hopefully will get to meet you and say hello when we come up to see you on the 13th.
That would be great.
Would that be all right with you?
Absolutely.
All right. Can you hold the line for just a second?
Sure.
All right. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, AJ.